BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of BDNG Meets podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education Lead for the BDNG. And today I have great pleasure in introducing Angela, who I'm sure many of you have listened to or seen in our face-to-face meetings. Angela is a very active patient voice and advocate for HS, which she's lived with since she was 10. She's very, very proactive in driving HS education and provides a huge amount of support. So welcome, Angela. It's absolutely fantastic to have you here today.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here. And I guess I would just open with thank you to BDNG for shining a light on HS. I'm really pleased to be here and talk to listeners and, like you say, raise more awareness of HS. So thank you.
An absolute pleasure. And I know you've been, you know, you really are supportive of the BDNG and you've done lots of face-to-face talks and, you know, we've really driven that forward as well. But today we're going to concentrate and go through a little bit of a journey together and obviously discuss HS, which is also hidradenitis suppurativa, I should say, before we start condensing it right down to HS. But we're not going to be saying that throughout this podcast. So we will, for the sake of this podcast, be calling it HS today. So, Angela, can we just start with actually what is HS? Can you just tell me a wee bit more to our listeners as well what actually it is?
Of course. So HS is a non-communicable auto-inflammatory skin disease. I often used to hate the term disease until colleagues in the medical professional told me that actually the term disease does carry more weight in the medical world in terms of syndromes and conditions and so on. HS can affect any part of the body where there are hair-bearing follicles, so commonly where there is skin-to-skin contact, which means buttocks, groins, underarms, underbreasts, inner thighs. The only place where we tend not to see HS, as I say, is those places without hair follicles, so hands, palm of the hands, soles of the feet, potentially lips. And what it does is it causes inflammation, so boil-like abscesses which discharge, so they suppurate, and that's where the suppurativa in the name comes from. That can be happening in multiple sites at once, so people living with HS can either have this mildly, moderately, or quite severely. It is relentlessly stubborn to treatment and it has a real significant impact on quality of life. And what we do know about HS is that it does not discriminate, so it really can affect anyone of any gender from adolescence and onwards. So in a nutshell, that is HS.
That's a fantastic description there, and it's really informative for our listeners today, because we do have quite a few healthcare professionals, you know, in a bit of doubt actually what HS is, you know, the treatments, you know, what we can actually do for HS, what actually causes HS. So, you know, we've got a lot of education to do in this process, but it's really exciting that a lot more people are now getting interested in HS and really driving the education forward. And this can sit in primary care, secondary care, you know, in healthcare professionals departments, so we can really push the education out. So that's fantastic. You've told us all about HS and what it is. So there is some sort of myths out there as well. So can you just tell me, Angela, what HS isn't?
I can. This is really important for us in terms of awareness. So HS is not caused by poor hygiene, by sexual activity, being a smoker or being overweight. And they are some of the common things that we hear patients in our community being told. There are environmental factors. So some of those that we've just mentioned, particularly smoking or being overweight, we believe can aggravate the symptoms, but are essentially not the cause. And it's very important that people understand they haven't caused HS through these actions. So we really need to move on from the outdated and stigmatizing kind of shame and blame approaches to care. And I have to say, we do still get a lot of people coming through our support networks who have had negative interactions with healthcare professionals who are still peddling some of these messages. We also hear quite often that people are told that it will burn out over time. And whilst that can be a common pattern, we often see people coming through later in life where the onset has either been through pregnancy or potentially menopause. So again, we don't have those guarantees that this will just go away. So what we really need is both patients and healthcare professionals to be informed on the wealth of research. So since 2020, the research into HS has really blown up. It's taken off, as you say. Someone referred to this the other day as the dawn of HS. And so I guess what we want healthcare professionals to do is to be familiar with some of that research and some of those key messages that are coming through, to, as I say, move on from that stigmatizing shame and blame approach that many patients have experienced over the years.
Absolutely. That's a really important message to get across, Angela, because the stigma still exists, you know, and despite our efforts and, you know, the evidence that is coming through, you will still see patients that have been blamed, you know, down to the obesity, smoking. And, you know, we're really trying to get away from that culture and meaning. And I think that's a really important point as well, you know, to promote this education and the excitement of, you know, the HS being out there and, you know, like we said, say the dawn of HS, there's a lot more evidence coming through the conferences. It's talked about a lot more as well, but we still know there's a long way to go. We still know that, you know, patients could take on average 10 years to be diagnosed as well. So we still know that that education really needs to be there. So talking about education, and I know you're a massive, massive advocate for education and support. So could you tell us about what you're involved in with the HS Support Network and just explain to our listeners today how they can access it as well?
Yes, of course. So the HS Support Network is a group of people living with HS, and we meet monthly with different topics and guest speakers of peer support. So this was born out of my local hospital, who originally hired a room and came along, and we met in person in the Northwest. During COVID, we moved this to virtual because people were very much in need of support. And we had such a comprehensive kind of programme of speakers and topics, we figured it didn't feel fair to limit this just to our region. So we opened this up nationally. We have recently welcomed healthcare professionals into our sessions because we had lots of requests and we kept saying this is just for patients, and we thought this isn't in our interest to not include healthcare professionals as partners. So for the education parts of our sessions, we really do welcome people in, and we have lots of specialist nurses who come along to that. We've got probably just over 200 members signed up, and the only criteria is that you live in the UK or Ireland. That was because we found people were joining kind of global networks and being quite overwhelmed with different healthcare systems and payer systems and the likes. And we also welcome parents and carers into that session. So it's really heartening that we have a few very supportive parents of perhaps young people who don't feel comfortable in that virtual space, and partners being there as a support. It's an incredibly diverse group. So again, when people think that HS affects a certain kind of demographic, one of the things I love is when people come to the group and they see the faces on the screen, is that they see how different everyone is. So all genders, ages, ethnicity, and some people do feel quite overwhelmed just meeting other people for the first time who understand how it feels to live with HS. We witness some really amazing emotional and practical exchanges between people. There's a lot to learn, and you really feel the support. So sometimes it feels like an art and craft sessions. People have got dressings out and they're cutting dressings and, you know, showing on screen what they do, and really random tips of things that help, stuff that you just don't get in a, you know, a written down leaflet or from a website. And that's what we wanted. We wanted to do something and offer something different to the online forums, which are available. They play a really great role for people who want to remain anonymous and, you know, type, but actually there's a solidarity and unity and kind of meeting in person, being part of a network of other people. And it just gives us a chance to kind of address some of the misinformation and to include some of the really valid education that we have. So I will say, I don't want to sound boastful, but I think we have our, you know, top level speakers, the leading clinicians and support people in the UK in HS. are all pretty much part of our network, so we're forever grateful for them lending their time to us. And they say they get a lot from it as well. They were like, often in consultation, we don't get this level and depth of understanding from patients, so coming to the network is a benefit to them too. So for people who are interested, who might want to signpost or come along themselves, we are on Instagram. We've got over 2,000 followers there, and our handle is the_HS_support_network. And I'm sure we can provide this information, Tina, and kind of part of the notes for this. We've also got over 700 followers on Facebook, which is just simply the HS Support Network UK and Ireland. And we have an email address, and that's all people need to do is drop us an email, hssnukandireland@outlook.com, and just tell us your location and whether you're a patient carer or healthcare professional, and that will get you the reminder every month to come along to things that you are interested. It's really informal. People dip in and dip out of what's of interest to them. So that is us at the HS Support Network.
That's so positive, isn't it? I mean, I can tell as well the passion you have behind it is fantastic. So you meet every month, that's correct. Is that different days of the week, or is that just
so primal? We're always on a Wednesday. We're always 7 p.m. on a Wednesday. All of our educations fall on the last Wednesday of every month. And we did that because it's just easy for people to remember. Quite often people say, I fell asleep and, you know, I was intending to come and I forgot. Bank holidays always throw us. But aside from the 12 sessions we have on the last Wednesday of every month, this year we've introduced 4 separate sessions that fall at the end of every quarter. And that's just for patients only, just for them to come together. Yeah,
that's a nice idea as well. Absolutely. Really, really fantastic. And I've seen your list of speakers, which we are advertising on the BDNG as well for the rest of the year. And they are phenomenal. I mean, you've got some fantastic speakers there. So, and you really do vary the topics as well, which is really positive as well.
And that was born out of asking patients, what is it you want to learn about? Where are your gaps in knowledge? Where do you most need support? So the programme is absolutely patient centred in terms of their needs.
So the talks that you provide, both provide for the patient and the healthcare professional. That's really different, isn't it? I mean, that you don't get many networks that actually do that support, which is fantastic. That's really good. Yeah, and we definitely do advertise that, and we may get the links at the end of this as well, Angela, just to refresh our memories there. So we've talked about, you know, HS and the support networks that are out there as well. A difficult question, but I'm going to ask it. What's missing in HS treatment as a patient? What do you feel is missing? And is there any key sort of messages you want to get across today for our listeners?
Absolutely. Really important question. Because there is a lot missing. We have a long way to go. So this is where the work happens, isn't it? This is where we can create change by talking about these things. So many people that come to our networks will tell us that their healthcare appointments very much center around treatment options, whether that's medical or surgical. We're talking about what can we prescribe or where can we list you. And what we encourage in the group is for our, you know, patients to speak up to healthcare professionals, and for healthcare professionals to think about asking, how is HS impacting on your life and how can we help in the time that we've got today? Because it will be different for lots of people in terms of the pressure points that HS is causing for them. So we find more often than not, people struggle with 3 key things in HS, and that's pain management, wound care and mental health support. And so we say whether clinics can directly refer on to specialists or perhaps report back to a GP and say, can you make these referrals for this patient? But it's really important that we're asking the right questions to get the right support at the earliest opportunity. And I really stress the earliest opportunity, because we've had 2 recent research studies that came out. The first that highlighted a life expectancy gap of people with HS of 15 years. And that's quite hard to swallow, because you think this is a skin condition. How does it shorten your life by 15 years? And when you actually look at the diagnostic delay and the impact on the quality of life, you begin to understand that we're then leading into comorbidities. We're leading into diabetes, to high blood pressure, to sleep apnea, to a range of things that lead to cardiovascular. And then you go, OK, here's where the 15 years is. And that's why we want earlier diagnosis and access to treatment sooner to try and address that. The second study that is very recent came out to state that the only two dermatological conditions with a evidence of higher completion of suicide, so this isn't ideation or attempts, but actual completion of suicide, is melanoma and hidradenitis suppurativa. So we have it there in black and white, the outcome of people living with HS, and we simply can't ignore the impact it's having on people anymore. There are broader themes, so it isn't all as kind of in-depth as that, but the broader themes are things about how can we connect people to support. So some people might struggle financially. I know when I was a student and I was coming out with 12 prescriptions that I didn't have the money to go and get them. So asking some simple questions or providing information about prepayment prescriptions, schemes where you can reclaim costs of hospital visits. Again, the Office for Health Economics did a recent report on the financial impact for patients. So obviously we're more likely to be out of work, periods of sick and so on. So the financial constraints are a consideration that people just might not think about. I know you are doing some work with Suzanne Maloney of Hydraware. So simple things like recommending Hydraware. Or when you ask a patient what's the most difficult thing with HS, and again, this is born out of both what comes through the network and personal experience, was the impact on employment and education. So a really simple thing that could make the world of difference to someone is a letter to an employer to say, you know, this significantly impacts this person, you know, you need a specialist opinion, referral to occupational health. Maybe you need a reasonable adjustment under the Equalities Act around increasing higher triggers for absence for someone with HS. But there's so much more we could be doing to support people with HS. And that comes down to conversations, just asking the right questions and really setting aside any assumptions we might have and bringing it back to that person-centred care.
Well, and it's really difficult to hear some of those facts and figures, isn't it? The evidence that's coming through, you know, shortening our life by 15 years. And, you know, actually, as you're saying, the suicide as well is quite significant. I mean, it's really impactful. And I think, you know, as a healthcare professionals as well, you know, you do hear people saying, you know, I'm not experienced in HS, or I don't know much about it. But I think, to be fair, you know, it's that care and support that you can provide and listen, isn't it? And reach out if you need further help.
Yeah. I think as a healthcare professional, as a nurse, you already have all of the skills that you need to support people with HS. It's positive inquiry. It's empathy. It's, you know, it's those conversations person to person.
Absolutely.
That help the most.
Yeah. And I think it's really important as well. You know, we do need that sort of multidisciplinary sort of team, like you mentioned there, the pain, which is a massive part of HS as well. And something I routinely now document in my letters, you know, ask about the pain and the scores and things. And I think, you know, just to even broach on that topic, which any nurse, any healthcare professional can ask these questions. But, you know, again, I have to reach out to further healthcare professionals to obtain that support in pain if it's, be it the pain management team or be it the GP. And, you know, it's just taken on board some of the everyday issues that patients with HS have to deal with. It really is. So we've talked there about the, you know, some of the treatments, and I know we are restricted with some treatments, but obviously we are getting more treatments. And you mentioned there the dressings, which we've already spoken about with Suzanne on another podcast. So if anyone hasn't heard Suzanne Maloney's podcast, then please listen in. We've got that available on the BDNG as well. And, you know, there's some great, great tips on there as well for patients with HS. So please have a listen to that. So you've mentioned, as I say, the treatments, the care and support. What do you think, you know, can work for HS? What do you think works?
This is an exciting question, because for many decades, people have just said it's a relentlessly stubborn condition and there's very little we can really do to help you. And in the direction things are moving in is that this will be multidimensional in terms of treatment. This will include medical options, and there are lots out there in terms of topical, oral, biologics. It may include surgical intervention. I'm a huge advocate that surgical intervention has been the only route to addressing some areas of my HS. And again, we hear through the community people almost being scared by surgeons, sometimes the manner and their approach and the fear, when actually de-roofing and lots of work happening in that space is helpful for management. Lifestyle, again, as long as we are approaching it in the right way and we understand the cyclical nature of HS affecting mental health, that affecting lifestyle behaviour and choices. And the mental health really comes into play around acceptance. You know, right now we don't have a surefire cure. So actually it's going to be a range of things. I think the fact that it has been relentlessly stubborn to treatment has led us to a group of very frustrated patients and equally frustrated healthcare professionals. So I speak to a lot of consultant dermatologists who say to me, you know, people just are quite angry with us. And if we say the wrong thing, and, you know, and they were like, and we came into this profession to help. Nurses similarly, you know, we really want to help. And there's we're as frustrated, you know, because we don't just have something in the bag to fix. But that's changing. There's lots of new treatments in the pipeline, lots of things in stage through clinical trials. We've already seen new biologics coming to the market. What we really need for this to work is people to be referred to dermatology. Whilst they're waiting for that referral, we need GPs to give them what they can access through you know, the NICE guidelines in terms of treatment of what GPs can prescribe. But we can't delay those referrals. So again, we hear people coming through the network saying they've been told that their HS isn't severe enough to be referred. And, you know, that is too mild for a specialist referral, but more often than not, there is disease progression with HS, and the patient is likely to have waited some time before presenting, further time before getting the right diagnosis. So again, there's stats out there on the number of professionals you'll see. We've got the diagnostic delay down from 10 years to, I think, 7.7, which 7 years is still not acceptable for a condition that's been around since the 1800s. But in that time, whilst they're waiting to present, going through their misdiagnosis, then waiting to see a specialist, that makes the likelihood of treatments being less effective, because the HS really begins to embed. It forms sinus tracts, scarring. It really gets more complex as time goes on for a lot of people. So what would work is earlier diagnosis, better access to treatments. And for us, really, I would love to hear, we had somebody join the group just before Christmas last year who'd been into clinic. They'd been diagnosed on the day, they'd been given our contact information, and it happened to be the end of the month and they turned up at a meeting. We were like, this is the dream. So we've still got too many people being refused referrals to dermatology, having that blame and shame. You know, we're not prepared to give you this treatment because you're a smoker or because you're overweight. But also giving them wound care, appreciating that whilst we might not have a medical or surgical intervention right now, we appreciate you're living with open chronic wounds, which are incredibly painful. So what more can we do? So I think the general direction is telling us that HS is more than a skin disease. We've heard some people referring to this as, you know, it's systemic in nature, and that one treatment alone is not sufficient. So we're hearing people talk about layering biologics, multiple biologics, exploring GLP-1 medications, but that surgical option, lifestyle monitoring and changes, mental health support. And as I say, there's some great new things coming through, which are not just biologics. We've got oral topical solutions coming through stage three trials, and just us moving away from that process-led trial and error of ineffective treatments over such a long period of time. So if we don't see improvement, a significant improvement that we're moving patients on. Again, we had someone the other day that had been held for 12 years on antibiotics by a GP that refused to refer them to a dermatologist. So that's huge. And just acceptance is critical. And that's where the mental health and our support really comes into play, to say HS feels hard because it is hard. And there's a level of acceptance that we can't just fix you. So it is about learning to live with it and feeling, I guess, you're working in partnership with your healthcare professionals to manage as best you can.
That's a great, what you've said there. And I think, you know, some points I can pick out from that conversation. You know, definitely the partnership, it's massive. And, you know, I think when, you know, I always say to my patients who are working in partnership, it's not me telling you or vice versa. It's very much this partnership and working together, isn't it? What we've got available, what is the future, what we have, what we can do. You know, we have challenges, we know that, you know, within the UK, and it's just that acceptance, isn't it? And you know, just providing as much support and as much help as we can actually are able to do. Like you say, basic things there, you know writing a letter of support to work or school or university, you know, something a nurse or a healthcare professional can quite straightforward do, but it makes such a difference that you've listened and actually been able to provide that for a patient as well. And an important point that you picked, that I picked up on there as well, lifestyle. Now I know we're saying, you know, we're not blaming, you know, obesity, smoking, etc., we've got the evidence through, but it's still important to have that lifestyle conversation. And we would do that with any skin disease, you know, it's basic. And I think that's another important point as well. We know that these things can help anybody. So again, the lifestyle conversation is definitely, but it does seem exciting. Like we say, we're getting a lot more, you know, treatments and positivity and how to access dressings, which can another be very challenging, you know, and we did talk about that with Suzanne's podcast as well. So in a nutshell, then, what does the future hold? What do you think is out there? What do you think is the future for patients with HS?
I'm excited about the future, Tina. And yes. I think if you'd have asked me this a few years ago, I wouldn't have been as emphatic about this. But we have a group of five experienced patient advocates as part of the HS Support Network who are covering England, Ireland, Wales and Scotland. And we are just on the brink of registering as a patient-led charity with the Charity Commission. Our hope is that we will host a very comprehensive website with lots of helpful information. And we're really pleased that we have a strong clinical advisory board who will be checking over all of our content to make sure we are evidence-based. We are obviously not offering medical advice, but it will be a place for people to go who are newly diagnosed or not well informed to just find out more and I guess offer lots more in terms of, you know, chat forums, in-person events, opportunities for people to get involved in advocacy and research. And obviously key to that will be us working with healthcare professionals. So hopefully you will see us at some of the national conferences and events. We will be there in person. But there's so much happening in the HS space at the moment. But we can only do this by working in partnership. I'll go back to kind of the opening point, just that genuine gratitude to yourselves and the BDNG, to listeners of this session, because in taking an interest, I'm really confident with this being hidden for so long that there's inevitably things that we can do, that we must do. And I think you listeners, you know, we can make a positive difference. That's the good thing with HS. There's so much more to be done. We can actually be part of that doing and making a difference to people. So, yeah, thank you for having me today.
Oh, I know. Thank you, Angela. And it's, you know, me, myself and you were both at the face-to-face BDNG HS day. And I think we all left that day feeling so positive that, you know, so many nurses were really interested and engaged and, you know, the BDNG had a lot of emails on the back of it. We've now, you know, formed a HS sort of subgroup, you know, really people that are really passionate about HS and want to drive it forward. And we know we haven't got all the solutions like many, you know, skin diseases, other, you know, conditions as well. We haven't got all the answers, but, you know, just being caring and dynamic and proactive can make such a difference, I feel. So, another quick question before we finish this podcast, because the information has been phenomenal, Angela. I can't thank you enough for what you do. Could you just repeat some of the links that you mentioned earlier, how for nurses to get in contact with the HS Support Network if they're interested, and the links? I know you mentioned a couple earlier on, so we can sort of wrap this podcast up by promoting that.
Absolutely. I apologise for the email address. There was very little choice in this. So the HS Support Network is the beginning of our email address. So it's HSSN UK and Ireland @outlook.com. So HSSN UK and Ireland at outlook.com. Drop us a simple email and we will connect with you from there. If you would like to follow us on social media platforms, we are on Instagram as the_HS_support_network. So the HS support network with underscores, and probably the most easy to follow is our Facebook handle, which is the HS support network -UK and Ireland. We don't do a great deal on socials. We're simply advertising our information, our sessions, reminders for people to come along. But we will be the HS network when we are established as a charity. So hopefully we can come back through the BDNG to promote our website and content at that point. But please do give us a follow or engage, participate in any way you can.
You are definitely welcome anytime, Angela, absolutely through the BDNG. And we do advertise as well on our e-newsletters as well, the upcoming education, and we will provide the links as well. So a massive thank you, Angela. You do amazing work. You are such a voice for HS. It's so driven. We can't thank you enough from the BDNG, and we so look forward to seeing you soon in person. I'm sure you will be there. Which is fantastic. And please carry on the amazing work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.